Just drop
Love
me a
Talk Radio.
Can you relate to this? Listen.
Are you in bondage to the status of nice things, addicted to the attention and the compliments they bring?
Is that you?
Feeling the weight of growing debt with each guilt. That's not his will.
That's not his will.
That's not his will. If that's not you, then maybe this one's on point.
Huh.
You still need a drink, or you gotta smoke one joint.
Yeah.
To get through the pain of all the heartache that you feel.
That's not his will.
That's not his will.
No, no.
That's not his will.
It's not a trial.
It's not a trial.
And it's not a test.
It's not a test.
Woo.
God wants for you his best, but not until you
thing.
So you sneak out, to the strip club, knowing that nothing there can ever be for real.
That's not his will.
That's not his will.
No, no.
That's not his will.
Yeah.
Maybe you think that you will find it in someone.
What?
So you sleep around, hoping each time that you're done.
Mm.
But that one is not found, and you're still trying to.
That's not his
That's
will.
That's not his will.
That's not his
That's
will.
That's not his will.
Come on, sing.
It seems unfair.
And it's so much stress.
It's so much stress.
But God.
God wants for you his best.
Yes.
But not until.
Not until.
The best to his will.
Oh yeah, come on, come on. Just when you thought no one was listening. Sing.
He heard your cry.
Late in the midnight hour.
He knows your silent fear.
He wants to just
he
renew.
Wants to just renew
his relationship.
His relationship.
Oh God, with you. With you.
Don't be afraid of facing everything inside.
Yeah.
Even the guilt.
That guilt.
Wrapped up in pride.
Mm.
God will step in, but he's waiting until.
Yes, he will.
You're in his will.
Yeah.
You're in his will.
Don't you give up.
Don't you give up.
Don't settle for less.
Settle for less.
God wants for you.
God wants for you.
His best.
His best.
Yes.
But not until.
But not until. You gotta submit to his will.
Jesus is waiting.
Come on, lift your hands to this. Let's submit to his will. Hallelujah.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Welcome to Sister for this Wednesday, November the 4th, 2020. I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm here with my wonderful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. At the top of the program, you heard Destiny's Praise with His Will. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow your heads with us as Evangelist Michelle takes us to the Lord.
Thank you, Bishop. If we could all
Amen.
Just bow our heads and come gracefully to the throne, near and far. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity. Oh, Lord God, I come to your throne of grace humbly and thankfully. I'm most grateful for you blessing me, Lord, to stand in the gap once again for your people. Lord God, I lift them up to you, Father God, and ask on their behalf that you stop by and see about their needs, Father God. Touch them where They need to be touched. Father God, you know each and every one of your children are hurting, and you know what each one of them are in the greatest need of. Lord God, I ask that you rain upon the just and the unjust. Father God, you are just so great to us, and we all have sinned, all of us, all around this world. None of us are without sin, so one cannot be judgmental of the other. We've all come short. So I ask that you just freely just rain your mercies upon all of us. Bless the youth and young adults all over the world, Father God, and just let your mercies transcend from one heart to another. Bless all of the sick and shut-in all over the world, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Bless all of the widows and the widowers, Father God. Bless our nation's capital. I ask that you just bless those who are still out in the streets wreaking havoc because of the vote and things, Father God. We know that you are so supreme, Lord God, and it will be your will that will come forth in the end. Father God, whoever the new chief is, or if it's the old chief in command, it will be because of what you have decided, and we will have to abide by it, and just it will be just that. Well, Father God, I just thank you for your just being a God of second chances, and to some, a God of many chances. I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for the wonderful bishop who is always uplifting and encouraging. I thank you for every program that you allow to go out of the airwaves to reach all of the people, not just in one state, but in many states, in many countries, all over this great world, Father God. You're reaching people. She's reaching people, touching lives all over this world, Father God, trying to impact people's lives. Because, Father God, you said in your word that you go away to prepare a place, Father God, and it's not just for one people, Father God, but you go away to prepare a place for all people, not just one color, Father God, but for all colors, Father God. And we need to understand this and come together, Father God. Your people need to come together, because when we get to that great big reunion, it won't just be one color, one race, people. It will be all of your people. So if we can't get it together down here, how do we expect to get up to it to be with you, Lord God? So I just ask that all of your people just come together and just love on one another, because we've got to get it together down here if we plan on getting it together up there with you. I just ask that you continue to just wrap your loving arms around all of the people who are suffering with the COVID. And for all of the natural disasters that are going around this world, for there are many, Father God, and you know them all. And I just ask that you just continue to bless them with new shelter and with continued food that they can eat on, Father God, until their new shelter arises. Father God, like the great phoenix, Father God, they shall too rise again. And I just ask that you just continue to bless everyone that's in connection with just making your kingdom come into what you asked and needed to be. Father God, you make it the raging waters to cease. And I know that when you want these things on this earth to cease, with just one command, it will cease. In Jesus' name, not ours, but in your precious Son, Jesus' name, it will all cease, just like the raging waters did. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, and to God be the glory. What a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, saints of God, you know, here at the Spirit Alive Network, we are not afraid of tackling issues that need to be tackled, and tonight is no difference. Tonight's program is called The Talk, because teens deal with serious real-life issues in their day-to-day lives. And again, that's why it's so important that we tackle the heavy topics. And we do that here at Spirit Alive. So tonight we are going to talk to you some, and we want to hear from you about how do you talk to your teens about suicide? How do you talk to your teen about pregnancy? How do you talk to that teen about that overprotective, controlling, or jealous boyfriend? You see, in my experience, teens are more likely to engage in high-risk behavior, and they'll latch on to deviant peer relationships when they have zero support at home from their parents. You know, when you let them be raised by the internet or by the television or by social media. They get into problems when they have way too much time on their hands. Or they could experience a lack of affirmation to guide them toward healthy behaviors, purpose, and identity. Now, here are some types of high-risk teen behaviors you might recognize, and this was written in the Horizon Family Solutions. These are the top problems that our teens deal with today, which is aggression and fighting, alcohol use, behaviors related to obesity, gambling, risky sexual behaviors, self-injuring behaviors, substance use, suicide, teen pregnancy, unhealthy dieting, and violence. Now, does this list terrify you? Now, listen to me. If you're seeing these types of behavior, then your teen may be exhibiting some risky behavior. Now, I know it can be terrifying to try to deal with, but I came to tell you tonight that we must deal with it and we do not need to be afraid of the heavy-hitting topics. You see, we need to stop and think about where our children are. And instead of just going into our regular negative, how could you do that? Why would you do that? Who told you to do that? You know, then we're being negative, and we could do more harm than good. Some negative reactions to teens involved in high-risk behavior could include discouraging them, negative messaging about potential consequences instead of just guiding them to positive and healthy behavior, any form of shaming in or out of the church. All of these reactions typically make that teen feel judged and unwanted. Now, it's important that we serve the needs of the high-risk teen and we can introduce and demonstrate the love of Jesus and give them the opportunity to trade a life headed for destruction for a life filled with promise and purpose. And I believe the church is perfectly positioned to do that. You see, we can't walk away from ministry opportunity because of fear. So I'm going to give you three ways right now how you can help a high-risk teen. First of all, you need to offer healthy relationships. You see, a child who feels loved, wanted, listened to, and close to their parents is much less likely to engage in risky behaviors. And I think it is absolutely true. Teens who are not experiencing closeness at home will try to find love anywhere that they can. But what we need to be doing is reaching them and showing them the love and acceptance of Jesus. And we can offer that to any of them. And I'm going to tell you, it can have a positive effect, and it has had a positive effect. Because years ago, there was a young man I had in ministry, and, you know, he was known as a bad, but, you know, that's not what they said. But I'm a Christian, so I don't use that language. But, you know, he was known as being bad. Oh, he was bad, you know. And everybody, you know, they would call him that, and they would ooh and ah. When he came into the room. But he began to get involved with feeding the homeless and making the bags for the homeless. And when we got around the other youth one day, he stopped everybody. He said, "I want to call a family meeting." And I kind of looked at him like, "A family meeting? Why are you calling a family meeting?" But that child stood up and proceeded to tell all of his peers about how not fighting, how violence is never the way. He did it. He tried it. It was not good. And because he got involved in ministry, it made him realize that he was worth more than the rep that he had. He was far greater than the reputation that he carried. And I've seen he did a complete turnaround, you know. So we have to connect them to meaningful programs and give them things to do that will make them feel and know that they are important and that they have worth. We need to affirm them and help them to develop their identity in Christ. You know, the biggest risk for teens engaging in high-risk behaviors is losing their self or their in their behaviors or being identified by the church and society solely by their behavior. You know, when we have a chance to see a high-risk teen, first and foremost, we have to look past their behavior, and then we must affirm their identity in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we have to let them know that they are loved by God, that they are people of worth. We need to tell them what God says about them. You know, there was another young man that got involved in my ministry, and he was known as a player. You know, he was just a ladies' cat's meow, you know, and he was coming in and with his swag, as they say, on. And one day I just, you know, just looked at him and said, come here. And I just asked him, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, Pastor Cook, you know, I got a rep to keep up. You know, I looked at him and I said, you're out here trying to keep up this rep. But you know what I see when I look at you? I see greatness. I see a courageous, loving person, someone that is searching, and someone who loves people. So I encouraged him to stop identifying as a player and start identifying as the person that I saw. He was a young man with a purpose, and he was loved by God. You know, we began to get him into mentoring. The Brotherhood took him under his wing, and he accepted. You know, and so just by letting him know what we see, letting them know that we see greatness, letting them know that we see more than the sum of their behavior, letting them know that we do care, you know, and we just have to learn how to not recoil and be there for them, ask the hard questions, talk to them. We need to lead them into the loving arms of Jesus because our teens are dying at an alarming rate, and they're dying due to suicide. Now, if you watch or listen to the news, I know you probably realize that suicide rates are on the rise. Now, we could all sit up here and speculate about it being COVID or about it being this or about it being that, but it doesn't matter why it's on the rise. The fact is that it is on the rise. But one of the greatest things that we can do to combat this rising trend is to keep before people conversations about mental health. Did you know that suicide is the second leading cause of death in adolescents and young adults between the ages of 10 and 34? And the age group with the highest number of individuals contemplating suicide and attempting suicide is between the ages of 18 and 24. The current suicide rate is also higher among males than females. Males are four times as likely to die by suicide than females. Now, these statistics should affect how and where we have these conversations. So, again, we're going to talk a little bit about why it's so important that we talk about these crucial yet sensitive topics in our ministries. Talking about the topics of mental health, depression, and suicide is imperative because we have plenty of statistics that create a compelling argument of importance of these conversations. Now, we can find the statistics But sometimes it's still difficult to figure out how to have these conversations. Now, praise be to God, in the last 10 or 15 years, we have really been making strides to remove the stigma from mental health. And whether you've dealt with depression personally or you have people that you know what? We need to create opportunities where they feel safe and they can talk and they can ask questions and, you know, and we have to keep it in context. We have to understand that we can't talk to a sixth grader the same way we talk to a 12th grader. You know, we have to talk about things in a way that they can be clearly understood by our young person. And we need to create groups or circles where they can see people like them and hear people like them talking about their depression, knowing that they're not alone, knowing, you know, addressing their fears. They might know someone who is taking their own life. Maybe they're talking about it in their health education classes, or they might watch a TV show where a character takes their own life. They have had thoughts about how it would be better if they would just didn't wake up. These are the kind of signs that we need to look for. And this conversation is already a part of their world. When you talk about these things in your ministry, you are letting them know that what they think and feel is important and it's worth our time. It's a way of valuing who they are and how we interact with them within their culture. We need to just know that mental health is trending, so we need to create a safe place as a vital part of our ministry. We need to equip our leaders with the tools and the resources that they need so that they can create a safe place for anyone to talk about what they're feeling. And we must be consistent. We can't be hit and miss with these things. We must create this atmosphere and maintain this atmosphere so that they will feel like there is always a safe place for them to come. There is always some place for them to come and to share, and that someone is going to listen to them, and better yet, someone is going to hear them. Now, you might get this question. And I'm going to tell you how to address it right now. And this is going to remove a lot of fear from some people. The young person might come up to you and say, "Can I tell you something you won't tell anyone else?" Now, you know the answer is no. I mean, you don't just say no, but you respond with something along the lines of, "If you trust me enough to tell me, then you can trust me enough to do what's right with the information." Sometimes that means we might have to share that information with their parent or guardian. Sometimes that means we might suggest they go see a counselor or a mental health professional. But what we need to do is make sure that we are equipped, all of our teachers are equipped, all of our leaders are equipped to navigate our young people into a closer walk with Christ where they can become the healthy adults that God wants them to become. And here at Spirit Alive, we do our best to provide as many resources as possible. Laboring Together to End Violence just presented two powerful forums on domestic violence and child abuse. So we need to keep these conversations going. We need to include everyone, including our young people. We need to remove the stigma from mental health. We need to remove the stigma from the feelings that we have. We need to validate those feelings and let them know, yes, you feel them, but you know what? Jesus has so much better. And, you know, because so many young people feel all alone, they feel like nobody loves them. That's why we have so many young women between the ages of 15 and 19 having children. Each year, almost 750,000 women between the ages of 15 and 19 become pregnant, and 59% of these pregnancies result in the birth of a child. Now, you have to understand something. Girls today are under a lot of pressure. A lot of them have low self-esteem. Some of them are pressured into promiscuity, alcohol, and drug use. A lot of them find themselves dealing with eating disorders, self-mutilation, unwanted pregnancies, unhealthy internet relationships, even confusion over their sexual orientation. But we need to teach these young women how to make wise decisions as they become women. You know, what we should be doing is not just, you know, sitting and waiting on something to happen, but we need to be proactive and start doing more about prevention. And we need to apply the scriptures, because these young people need to know God's word and how it applies to their lives as young men and young women. They need close-knit female relationships. They need female role models. They need that tenderness, that validation, that feeling of affirmation, awareness, and emotional, physical security. They need to understand the male mind. They need to know they're accepted, and they need to know genuine love, and they need to know boundaries. And this will help in them working through any abuse, eating disorders, unwanted pregnancies, and STDs. So what do? Again, we talk. We let them know. It's, you know, these things are happening. It's real, but we can't stick our head in the sand and just not say anything. We need to talk to our daughters about when the boyfriends want their phones and wants to keep track of them. That's not because he loves you so much. That's because he's controlling. We need to have these conversations. Many times our young ladies, they make a mistake, they start sleeping with a young man, and then their pride and their feelings get in the way. And they don't want to be proven that this young man is not the right one for them. So they will stick up for them. But we have to get past all of that, and we need to talk to our daughters about how they should be treated by a man. And if we teach them what God has to say about them, then that makes that a whole lot easier. Because if that young man isn't treating her like Christ is treating the church, like Christ is treating all of us, then that young man has no business being in her life. We need to know who our children are around. We need to know what they are doing, and we need to have these conversations and have them often. Amen. Well, I'm not going to talk much more. I'm going to turn it over to our Christian Cub reporter in the streets, and all of you, and we're going to have Evangelist Michelle come on in, and then we're going to take your comments. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Well, being the proud mother of three young men, ages 33, 29, and 20, and one beautiful teen daughter that's 17, I've also helped raise over 20 children in my life, over 20 children in my life, and fostering three with great success. I was a preschool owner, and all of those children have went on to college. I greatly appreciate everything that my dear sister Bishop has said. And like she has said, you know, and she stated beautifully, we do need to show these young people love in loving relationships, because they will mimic what they see. If they grow up in homes where they see the mother is abusive to the father, then the girls will grow up more aggressively to the fathers. If they see the fathers are more aggressive and abusive to the mothers, then the son will be, you know, have that type of relationships, and that will cause the boys and the girls to be lean more towards that tendency, and the girls will venture off into relationships where they think that that's the way they're supposed to be treated, and the boys will venture off and think that's the way they're supposed to treat women. Also, if their tendency to be in around environments where there's more drug related, you know, like if you see a child. If he grows up in a home where they see dad go in and out of the front door, in and out of the front door, and he comes back in, but he's going to work. Then he's like, okay, my dad goes, he goes to work, he come home. Okay, he's bringing home the bacon, he's paying the bills, and I see him on the weekend or whatever. Okay, that's fine. I get to see my dad. But if they see the dad comes home and he got a whole lot of traffic going in, and every so often he's laid out prostrate on the floor, but he's not praying. He's not praying to God. He's prostrate on the floor because the police department got his hands stretched out behind his back. They're hauling him off to jail. That's the kind of life that the son and the daughter is seeing. Dad is constantly behind bars. So would you rather the child grow up with the negative influence or the child grow up with the positive influence? That's what these kids, like Bishop was saying, they have to struggle with. Different things, ways they grow up, things they see, different types of things that are going on in the world. Like she mentioned, the challenges of their sexuality, just all different things that these teens are growing up with in the world. And this has been going on for years. This is nothing that just happened. It's just being... it's happening more prevalent, and we're hearing more about it, especially now with COVID and people are locked in the house. The kids are being more depressed because some parents are more stricter than others, making their kids stay in the house. Some cannot be on their kids as much because they are blessed to still be able to work, so they have to go out with the kids. They're more in the streets, and so they come home. They can't find their kids. Then, like Bishop said, the girls get more promiscuous because they don't have that parent. Some kids say, they're helicoptering me. You know, you're all over me. Some people are for helicoptering. Some people are not. When my kids were younger, yes, I did do a little helicoptering. As some children need a little bit more than others. You can tell one thing, and they only need to be told once. Whereas another one, you might have to tell them two or three times. They might, and Johnny might not get it on the second or third, you know. You might have to tell them a different way. But, you know, children are important. They're important to the human race. We have to pour into these children just as Heavenly Father pours into us. We need to pour into these children because they are our future. And would you rather...
Amen.
And lawyers, preachers, and teachers, bishops, and apostles, or would you want them to be the new drug dealers and killers and murderers? We have to be very diligent in the things that we put into the children, you know? We cannot sit around and just put negative condensation. We can't put this trash into our children. We have to put positivity into our children, okay?
Yes.
Because
Jesus.
What you put in is what you get out. If we put deposit in positivity, we can go back and then withdraw all of that positivity out of these children, because they're children now, but someday they will be adults. And then they'll give back to the community. Look at Kamala. She came from, but look at her now. See, we don't know what these children would be. Like the kids that I had in my preschool, some of them are off into college. They are authors of great books now, and they come back to me, and I'm proud because I had something to do with that. I'm sure the people that were in Kamala's life are so proud. So let's be not just for the namesake, but let's just like God is proud of us. Don't think Heavenly Father's not proud of us on the things that we are doing. He's saying, that's my daughter. That's my son reaching out all around the world, trying to draw all men. You see, we're trying to draw all children. We're trying to draw all men and women.
Yeah,
we're trying to win souls. We're here trying to win souls for the Lord, not just men and women, but babes too. We want everyone to be in heaven with us. Everyone. We don't want to miss a soul here at Spirit Alive. We want everyone, boy, girl, man, woman, child, black, white, red, yellow, brown. We don't care. We want you all to be there with us. It's so very important, whether you have mental illness, whether you are, we don't care. We love you all. We take you all in. We comfort you. We clean. We help you clean up. We don't say, you know, we don't want you because you're this, or we don't want you because you're that. We want you. Come. Come one, come all. We all, like I said, have sinned. We all have issues.
Yeah.
We've all been
come
through
on,
something.
Yeah.
Nobody is without a blemish or a spot. But let us, if you, what we're saying is, if you have that blemish or that spot and you want the help and you need us, we're here. Lean upon us. Let us help you. Let us help you. We are here for that. Bishop
yes.
is here for you.
Yes.
She will pray with you. We all here will
yes.
pray for you. She often will tell you, there is something for you here on Spirit Alive 7 days
yes.
a week. There's not many people that can offer you something 7 days a week and rebroadcasting. We truly care. God truly
yes, we
cares.
Do.
We truly
yes,
care.
We do.
Greatness. Greatness is in all of you. I heard Bishop say that she believed in those young men. Well, guess
yes.
what? We believe in you.
We believe in you. Amen.
We believe
Hallelujah.
In you, young people. Just as God believes in you, we believe in you. Here at Sister to Sister, all the programs here coming
yes.
out of Spirit Alive, we believe in each and every last one of you. No, we may not know each of you by name, but the moment you start calling in, oh, believe me, Bishop knows you. Michelle knows
yes.
you. Apostle Zeta knows you. Okay,
yeah.
Kathy Horton knows you. All of you. Oh, we all know you. Apostle Holloway,
yes.
we know you. Don't think we don't. And we pray for you guys.
Yes, we do.
Pastor Jeffrey, we all know you. And we pray
yes,
for
we
you.
Do.
And we lift you up. Mother
yes.
Matty, we lift you guys up in
Mother
prayer
Matty,
to God.
Mother Matty, Sister Tina,
because
all of us.
Greatness,
yes.
Greatness
yes.
is in each and every last one of
one
you.
One of you.
Greatness is
Amen.
And you need to know it, believe it, receive it, and breathe
it. Yes.
Back
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Holy name. Back to you.
Hallelujah.
Bishop.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Okay, she just gave me Holy Ghost goosebumps right there, and that's why I love my sister.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I bring you the statistics, and then she break it on down and make it apply to our daily lives, and that's where the word of God is active. Because we make it alive in our lives. We make Jesus our answer for whatever the case may be. Now, we have a lot of people up in here tonight, and we want to hear from you, your experience with dealing with the young person, or if how you have dealt with raising your young people. If we have a lot of Spirit Alive staff in the house tonight. So, you know, we just want you to know that we will be speaking to you. We're going to hear from Mother Matty first. Then I'm going to go to Apostle Zeta and then to Advocate Tina Brown. But first, we're going to honor the mother, one of the mothers of Spirit Alive. And yes, we declared and decreed that, and that's what she is, Mother Matty. Good evening, ma'am. God bless you.
Yes. God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Apostle Zeta, Pastor
hey.
Jeffrey Scott, and all clergy men and clergy women, giving honor to the Almighty God who is the head of my life, King Jesus who is the head of my life. I thank them. You two ladies spoke very well. And what I love about this show, you bring up things that people don't talk about. They don't even talk about in the church. I'm just saying the things that you talk about is very important things that need to be addressed even in the church.
Amen.
I try to make it brief. I had an encounter one day. I went to Reed's to get. To buy communion. This young lady, she came up to me. Wasn't nobody at the bus stop. I had just come out to Reach Records and I had bought communion. Nobody was there at the bus stop. Nobody was even there walking the street. Nobody was at the bus stop but me. I don't know if I had mentioned this to you before, but this young lady said she was going to kill herself And when she said she was going to kill herself, she just felt like she didn't have nothing to live for. She was talking about her fiance was beat her up, and I just ministered to that young lady. My heart went out to her, and I told her, I said, God loves you. He loves you. God loves you. Don't kill yourself. Don't do it. Don't do it. God
amen.
Hallelujah,
Mother Maggie.
Your fiance, you need to get away from. I said, because that's not love. He's beating you. He's beating you. That's not love. I said, but
that's
you got your whole life to live.
Come
you
on,
know,
now.
You're
that's wisdom.
God loves you. God loves you. Please don't kill yourself. So when I got through talking to her and told her, please don't kill herself, and she got, when I got through ministering to her, her whole outlook was different. She said, I'm not going to kill myself. She said, but I'm going to leave my boyfriend. I said, yeah, that's what you need to do. Leave your boyfriend. And I told her, you know, to pray. Pray. God loves you. He wants you to live. God loves you.
Yeah.
And I kept stressing that. So she had a better and stronger mindset. It really frightened me because nobody had never told me they wanted to kill themselves and die.
Amen.
And it really bothered me. So I just, all I could do was just minister to her with everything I had. But when she left that bus stop and I talked to her and ministered to her, she was all right.
She was straight.
She was all right.
She was straight. Amen.
I pray that God is with her, and I know he is, and I pray that the Lord bless her, and I know he has.
Amen.
Amen, Mother Maggie. God bless you, ma'am.
We have to as adults. I'm just saying, even if it's not your child by birth, adults is responsible for all children and young people. We have to guide them the right way. We have to instruct them the right way. Somebody's got to do it. Be responsible.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Mattie. I love her
thank
so
you,
much.
Mother.
She is such a...
Thank you, Mother. I love you all.
Oh, I just adore you. I just
you
adore
too.
You,
I
Mother
do.
Mattie. My Lord
too.
And my
I
God. I just,
yeah,
you know,
I
she just... She just brings a smile to my heart every time she speaks, I'm telling you. We're going to go now. Let's go to Apostle Zeta, and then we're going to go to Advocate Tina Brown, and then we're going to go to Pastor Jeffrey. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. This was a good topic and a good hot topic because sometimes people get so disgusted with the youth of today that they don't want to spend time with them. And I believe that, you know, we should, every opportunity that we have that God lends to us, just like the mother that just spoken, has just spoken, I believe that was so timely for this young woman, for them to meet up at the same place, at the same time,
yeah,
that she
could
give a word to her,
amen,
to the point where it would save her own life. And, you know, when we have those opportunities like that, whether it's going to be somebody that's planning to commit suicide or not, that we should take every opportunity and a chance to minister to a younger person like that, because some of them feel like we don't care about them, you know,
right.
Just because of how some of them live and how they think and how they do and just they're from their own ways. But that's not true. Those of us that love God love them anyway, regardless of how they are living. Love them. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, we are to love. We are to love everybody.
Yes.
And
yes,
Jesus
right.
said, through love and kindness have I drawn
yes.
thee. And I think,
yes.
I know that if we express love to them, it opens a door
for
us.
It can make a world of difference.
it opened, yes, it opened the door for us to really be able to talk to them, to be able to share Jesus with them, to be able to let them know that Jesus will make a difference if they allow him in their lives. Because some of them, they know the Lord. They have been raised well. Not all, but some of them have. And some of them have been persuaded by the world and world ways and feeling like they have missed out on something. And they have turned away from God. Well, you know, it's not going to always be the parents to bring them back.
That's
maybe
right.
Some of us, you know.
That's right.
And they need, I know that young people need to hear about the Lord from more than just their parents. And I know that within my own, with my own children, that it makes a difference. And when we're all saying the same thing, those of us that know God, when we're saying the same thing to them, you know, they can't really get around it.
Yes,
them.
They can't get around it. Amen.
Yeah, so that was really wonderful what has been shared already and what she just shared. That was such a blessing because we don't know whose life we may save.
That's right.
You know, and if we just open our mouths and take that opportunity. You know, the Lord does set up some things, you know,
yes, he does.
For us. And he puts us in the path of people that need to know him, need to know about him, need to be prayed over. They need for somebody to show them some love. So that's what we need to do, regardless of their actions.
Amen, Apostle. Hallelujah.
We are supposed to be. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. Oh, thank you, Apostle Zeta. That was so good. What I loved about what Mother Matty said is she said, you know, she was being real and transparent. She said,
amen.
I was. Mm-hmm. She said, I was scared because I never had anyone tell me they were going to kill themselves. But you know what I loved about her?
True.
She didn't miss a beat.
Amen.
She let the Holy Spirit kick in.
Amen.
And what I like she said, I ministered with everything up in me.
Thank you.
And I like that because when we're going to choose to minister, we need to minister with everything that is within us.
Amen.
We can't half step. When it comes to our young people. Because,
like we have
all said, the enemy knows that they are our future. So if he can kill them before they reach adulthood, before they can lead somebody else to faith, then he wins. So when it comes to our young people, we should be ministering. So what? Yeah, they got some strange looking hair. Some of them wear, they got it flipped, dipped, fried, dyed, laid to the side. Oh, honey, they got some hairdos and they got some clothes. Lord, they be wearing some clothes. We don't even know how they be wearing the clothes sometimes, but we got to look.
Right.
We have to look past that.
Amen.
Because what they're saying is they're looking for an identity. They're trying to be something, somebody. And that's where we can step in and say, you know what? You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you so much.
That's right.
You know, you're already somebody. You don't need to be like the next man. Be a leader.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, that's where we step in and we minister with all that we have.
Yes,
so I really, want to thank Mother Matty because that was a good point. Yeah, we might be scared, but sometimes we just have to do it afraid. Child, we can't let them get too close to us because the hair might cut us, but we just have to do it afraid. Amen. Sister African Tina Brown, come on in the room, love.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful service today was. And how important our children are. As we've spoken before about children being gifts of God, it is our duty to be able to minister to the children, whether they're our children or somebody else's. They look up to us. and they look at us as their for their guidance. And sometimes they don't know where to turn. There's so much peer pressure for children today, especially in high school, junior high school, what have you. They might be doing things that they don't want to do, but because they want to belong, they're being pressured to do things. And it is our duty to be able to say, you know what? You're a child of God. You don't have to do those things. And if you're being pressured, those are not your friends. Those are not people who want good for you. Unfortunately, girls especially are pressured to have sexual intercourse at a young age. They put themselves in jeopardy. As you talked about earlier, Bishop, about getting, you know, sexually transmitted diseases or pregnant or what have you, then they have to make adult decisions. And they're still children. You know, even at 18, they're still children. They haven't experienced life how we've experienced life. And it's our duty to say, look, you know what? Our actions have consequences. And if we don't walk right with Christ, our consequences could be very heavy. And your life is just as important and as valuable as somebody else's life. Whether you're 10, 15, 20, it doesn't matter. You are important. You are a child of God. And God will always be on the throne. And he will help assist you through the hard times. But get yourself to a place where you can know Christ so that you know that you can pray. Put yourself out of harm's way. And if you are in harm's way, there's no judgment here. We've all been there. We know what it's like to be put in harm's way. We know what it's like to make decisions that maybe didn't suit us. And we're not here to judge. We're only here to help and guide and assist into a proper way. And we don't condone some of people's behavior, but we don't judge it either. We're here to guide and assist you to Christ because Christ is the way. Without Christ, we don't have a way. There is no way without Christ. With Christ, all things are possible, even for children. Children are so important, and they're so impressionable. Everything we do and say by being the example to them is going to help them get on their way. But if we're not the example, if we can't be bothered, if we push them out, go play outside or whatever, we don't want to take the time to minister to them because we have our own things going on. That's when they look other places for things that may not be.
Amen. That's good right there. Amen. I just wanted to, that is so true. I love what Advocate Tina said, you know, and we got to remember, we're talking about young people here. We're talking about teenagers. Mm-hmm. We want to treat them like they're full-grown Christians when they're not. We're supposed to be training them up in the ways that they should go. So we got to stop treating teenagers like they're adults. Because a lot of time, you know, and we can't be telling, you know, a lot of the, I've seen this in churches and it just infuriated me. You know, they'll see a young lady come in and she's with child and they'll say, look at her coming in here. Where's her husband? Where's this? Instead of saying, praise God, here's a child with child, but she's in the right place. She's coming to the Lord. She's coming to the Lord's house. And that's when we can make a difference. Instead of judging her, instead of putting her down, instead of making her feel ostracized, that's when we need to make sure that we go over and welcome her in, put our arms around her, act like we got some Naomi and some Ruth up in us, and start talking to this young woman. Get her around other young women. You know, failure is not final. Neither are mistakes. In Christ Jesus, we got another chance, a second chance. Look, as long as we're pressing toward the mark, God is pressing with us, okay? So we need to get these young ladies and stop ostracizing them. Oh, you shouldn't have been spreading your legs. Well, you know what? You shouldn't talk so much either. But you do.
Amen.
So you know what I'm saying? We have to be affirmative to these young people. We have to let them know, okay, so you might have gotten in trouble, but you don't have to stay in trouble. You know what I'm saying? You can correct that behavior. You can correct that. You can come up out of that. You don't have to stay there. Yeah, you having a baby. You a baby having a baby. But since we recognize that, we'll be here. Mm-hmm. We'll be here to tell you what to do and how to do. Uh-huh. We'll be here. Uh-huh. I can see you on Saturday. I'm going to teach you how to cook a few things because you know you can't feed your babies at a fast food restaurant, okay? Come on, Sister Apostle Zeta might say, come on over here. I'm going to teach you how to make a budget.
Amen.
So you know
come
how
on,
to
please.
Maximize the little money you get.
Amen.
You know. And then Advocate Tina might say, come on over here. I got some baby clothes. And some bottles that I can give you.
Come on.
Amen.
You know, Sister Michelle will say, come on over here. Come on over here. Yeah. I'm going to show you how to make a schedule for your baby, how to, you know, put all your appointments on your calendar so you can, you know, whatever. Pastor Jeffrey?
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, I it sounded like I had got cut off for a while.
Nope.
But I'm here listening. And
okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is a very great topic because the children are our future. We have to look toward them to continue on from where we have been, but we have to have where we have been straight. We have to have done the right things. We have to have lived the right type of life in order to show them how to live that right type of life.
Amen.
So, amen.
You know, one thing I was looking at is that some of these children that and some of these young adults, what happened is, they are in their own world, and all they see is what they're surrounded with. All they see is what they've grown up around. All they see is their surroundings. And if they stay within their surroundings, they become part of the surroundings. But the thing is that because that's their world that they know, we have to teach them what thus says the Lord when it says, not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. And so how can we help renew their mind? We have to get them outside of that world. Whatever it is that we can do, we have to look at what somebody is lacking. We have to understand them as a person, and we have to understand what they're surrounded with so we can bring them outside of their surroundings so they can see how they can grow in the nurture and the admonition of how God wants them to grow. We have to bring them outside of their world. We have to bring them outside and let them see that they can live a different life than what they see. They can live better than what they've been through. Their life doesn't determine who they are, but what determines who they are is what God has called them, and God called them to be more than what's in their small world that they see.
Yes.
So if we could get them to look outside of that.
Yes, sir. That's good, Jeffrey. Good.
Amen.
That's good, Pastor.
That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, you said a mouthful, and it was good. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. We got to pull them up out of their environment.
Amen.
You know, just because you was born in the hood doesn't mean you got to stay in the hood.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying? Just because you was born in the barrio don't mean you got to stay in the barrio. You know what I mean? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
We all come from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? All right, we're going to go down to the Holloway camp, and we're going to see quickly if Apostle Holloway and Prophetess Holloway would like to have a word.
Praise God. Yes, indeed. God is good.
All the time.
Yes, indeed. As we as saints of God, as we as leaders, we as adults, we must be in a place to show the love, show the young people where they stand. Yes, when you're young, you think you know more than the adults. Yeah, I know this and I know that. But we as seniors, we as adults have to show them. We can't go and tell them this and that and tell them off, but we got to show the love. It's through the love. Jesus said, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. So we have to use, we have to stand and show them love and let them see the light.
Amen.
Let them see the light in us that's shining through us. And not tell them that they're wrong and that they don't know nothing. We just have to show them and let them know, okay, I think you're right. I must get it together. But as they see us and know that we are there for them, they will come. They will come and let us know, this is my situation. This is my problem. But if you don't let show them the love, they're not gonna come. Yeah, they gonna go to their peers. And they're gonna talk to their peers, and their peers are gonna take them down the wrong road.
Yeah.
But as we speak to God, and that we have an ear to hear, and we have eyes to see, the Holy Ghost will let us know. You gotta talk to them. You gotta talk to them. You gotta pull them to the side. You gotta let them know. So as leaders, we just can't stand up and with an iron fist and think they're gonna come. They're not gonna come. But when we show them love and compassion, they're gonna come and they're gonna tell it. My friend, he gave me this. And what is this? And he'll show you that his friend gave him some dope, gave him some crack. You take it and you show them, oh, that's not good, and that's not good, that's not good. But we take it and we discard it and sit down and talk to them. And sit down and don't fuss at them, but sit down and love on them. And they'll
that's
come.
That's right.
They'll
Amen.
Come
That's it.
Thank you, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Is Papa Tess with you?
I'm here. I was
right,
late coming in, but I heard a little bit. But I thank God, and what I'm hearing is that, you know, God will give us the wisdom and the prayer and the love for the young people. And they will come to the Lord and be open with what we went through, share that with them. And so we pray for the young people, and I know it was a real good topic, and thank God for you all and the topic. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, ma'am.
You.
We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Praise God, because here at Spirit Alive, we really do want people to be transformed. That's why we call ourselves the Transformation Station. Our tag scripture is Romans 12:1-2. We want you to not conform to this world. We want you to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might know what the perfect will of God is for your life. We want you to know and understand that there is never any condemnation here. There is never any judgment here. There is only love and the light of Christ here. In the chat room,
I would like to report that we have one, Miss Sierra. Miss Sierra was saying to the entire Spirit Alive staff, she says, thank you for always bringing the hard topics and talking about things that we never, ever hear anywhere else. She has decided that she is going to give Christ another try. And so we just want to praise God that she's going to rededicate her life to Christ. And all you have to do is go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been away for a while, but I'm coming home. And guess what? You're going to be welcome with open arms, because he was waiting on you the whole time. He was waiting on you the whole time.
Standing there.
He was just standing there waiting, just waiting on you, Sierra. Just waiting on you, Sierra. That's all he was doing, was waiting on you, baby. Bless you, my love. So you give your life back to Christ, you know, and yes, there are members of the church. There are people in the church that truly love others as Christ loves us.
Amen.
I believe that here in Spirit Alive, we have such an organism. We move as a family. We minister as a family. We love as a family. So we are truly a package deal, because any of us will minister to you, talk to you, pray with you. Hallelujah. If we're in your area, we'll even come see you, because that's what we do.
Amen.
I'm not boasting in me. I'm not that. I ain't great. But the Lord is, and I pray for loving Holy Ghost filled, stomped down Christians that only wants to share the love and the light of Christ. And that's what we got. That's what we have, and I praise God for that. I praise God for everything that we heard on tonight, from Mother Mattie to Pastor to Advocate Tina to Apostle Zeta to our the Holloway Camp. Hallelujah. We just praise God for all of you. And right now, I just think we ought to pray for our young people. So let us bow.
Yeah.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, Lord, with bowed hearts, just asking in the name of Jesus that you would stand with our children, oh God. We pray that you would just be a hedge of protection all around them, Father God. We pray against those evil spirits, Lord, that try to come against them, that spirit of addiction, that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of confusion, Lord God. That spirit of having an identity crisis, oh God. We pray, Lord, that they would allow you to speak directly to their hearts. I pray that they would believe what you have said about them, Father God, and not be swayed by the ways of the world. Lord, let them know that they are beautiful and precious in your sight, because you created them. Lord God, we pray against every drug dealer, every person that will buy an underage person alcohol. We pray against every perpetrator, Father God, that will come against our children. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would begin to seek your face, and that they would begin to find their comfort in you, and know that you are indeed the only way. Lord, grow up leaders so that your kingdom will continue to go forth. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would not allow the enemy to shred our children as weak. But we know that you are praying for them as we are praying for them, God. And you said if we abide in you and you abide in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done. You said this is the evidence that we have. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. Lord, we want them to have life, and we want them to have life more abundantly. Lord, we want them to know you in the pardon of their sins. We want them to live for you, Lord, for your glory. We want them to proclaim your holy word, Father God, to their peers, Lord God. Let the youth ministry be more about actually evangelizing their peers and less about parties. Let the youth ministry be more about going and doing the work of the kingdom than just having a picnic.
Yes, Lord, we just pray right now, Lord God, that you would show our young people that they are meaningful, they are purposeful, and you expect them to be active in your kingdom.
Yes,
I thank you, Lord God, for every servant leader here, Father God. I thank you for their heart and their mindset, Lord. I thank you for their willingness to stand with me and go with me into whatever territory I go into to discuss. Because we know if it concerns man, Father God, it concerns you. So, Lord, we know that there is a solution in your holy word. So, Lord God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just pour back into these servant leaders as they have poured out into your people, Lord. Continue to bless Mother Mac T, Lord. Bless her goings out and bless her goings in, Lord God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Provide her every need, Lord God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. If she needs help, Lord God, send the help. Whatever Mother Mac T needs, Lord, we just pray that you give it to her right now for your purpose and glory. We pray for the Holloways today, Lord God. We pray to you, Jehovah Rapha, that you would just heal all the pains, all the aches, Lord God. We just pray right now, Lord God, that you would just pour out your balm of Gilead upon prophetess. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just strengthen her back, strengthen her muscles, oh God. Hallelujah. Help her to rest in you, oh God, and help her to not feel guilty about it, oh God. I pray right now for Apostle Byron's side, Lord God. We just pray that he continues to take care of himself, oh God, and because he's important to your kingdom, Lord God. And I come praying for my sister Michelle and my brother Pastor. I pray for this beautiful power couple, Lord God. I pray for their living example of your love. I want to thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing through their family. I want to thank you, Father God, hallelujah, that they are examples. And Lord, I pray against every negative spirit that will come against them out of jealousy. I pray against every negative mouth that will open, Lord. I want you to close it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you elevate my brother to his rightful place, Father God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would make both of their names great in the kingdom. I pray for your mighty apostle, Zeta Flowers, Lord God. I want to thank you for all that you do through her, Lord. I want to thank you that she has a servant's heart. I want to thank you, Father God, that she loves you so much that she will go anywhere, Lord, and do anything that you tell her to do without question, Lord. Continue to provide her every need according to your riches and glory. Lord, bless her children, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, give her the strength, Lord God. Hallelujah. Impart everything that she will need, Lord God, to lead and guide those children into young adults. Hallelujah. I just bless your holy name. And then I thank you for my sister Tina, Lord God. I just thank you for her heart set and her mindset. I thank you, Lord God, that she's a part of my family. I thank you, Father God, that you have made her a part of me. Lord God, I ask that you bless her for all that she does, how she serves everybody, how she cares for the children. Lord God, we thank you for her heart, and we just pray that you bless her. She needs a job, Lord. So right now, the saints of God are praying that you provide for her a good-paying job, Lord. She don't want to work at McDonald's, Lord. She's not McDonald's material. She executive material, Lord God. So we just pray in the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
That you place her in such a job.
Yeah.
And Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the ministry. I want to thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
For just blessing me with such a beautiful family. And I just want to thank you, Father God, that you continue to allow me to bless the world by blessing them with all these wonderful people. Lord, it is my honor. It is my joy. It is my privilege. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, Lord God. I want to say thank you. You are so awesome, Jesus. I just love you, Father God. And I pray this and all other things in the mighty matchless name of Jesus. Let the saints of God please say amen and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We just praise God. We praise God because He's worthy.
Thank you.
He's worthy.
Thank you.
He's going down to the same.
Hallelujah. We just had to say to God, listeners, dear listeners, we just
thank
had to
you,
take
Lord.
A praise
thank
break.
You.
We do that
thank
here at Spirit Alive.
Amen.
We just take a praise break, okay?
Thank you.
We don't need no reason. We just take a praise break. We just took us a praise break.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just took us a break. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise God. We have had a wonderful program on tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, thanks to God came out and they educated us and they blessed us. And hallelujah. They gave you plenty of things to think about. And we pray that you do think about them and retain them and use them. Be like Mother Mattie. If you're confronted with somebody that wants to, you know, take their own life or, you know, whatever, it might scare, it might throw you for a loop. But just let the Holy, that's when the Holy Ghost kick in. Let him do the work. And you just be the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll all work out just fine. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook and my dear sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, along with the almost the entire Spirit Alive family. And we just want to thank you for listening on tonight. We just want you to know that we really do love you. And it is our fervent prayer that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Bye.
Love you. Good night. Love you.
God bless you.
Love you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Good night.